We are on page Mem Ches. Everyone's going to wake up for this shiur today. I have no doubt about it. We'll be wide awake. By the time we finish, your eyes will be popping out. Okay, here we go. Page Mem Ches, we're on the bottom of the paragraph, the last paragraph on the bottom of the page. What happens if a person, when he's davening Shimon Esrei, and he starts thinking about a woman on the other side of the Mechitza? Who's not his wife. What is one to do? What is one to do? Okay? V'im yaharer adam b'isha achas b'tfilosoi. A man is in the middle of davening Shimon Esrei, and all of a sudden a machshava comes into his mind and starts thinking about a woman that he should not be thinking about. Oy b'sha'or hirhurim. Or I leave that to your imagination, what that means. So what should he do? Now, I have no idea. I told you, we learned some of these things over here, is don't try this at home and don't try this in your shul either. This was a different time and place. You know, you should have a person, if you see someone doing this, you should know what's going on in his mind. If a person is in the middle of Shimon Esrei and he's thinking about a woman that's not his wife, on the other side of the Mechitza, Yinoitz gudle etz b'ois yadav b'aretz. Thrust your thumbs into the earth, the yisle gufay alehen, and lean your body upon them. That's what you should do, and that's going to cause you. I don't know if this is Kabbalah or just you're in a lot of pain. And when, you're in a lot of pain, you don't have room in your mind. It says zera came out. It says shichva zera came out of his fingers. He did something like that. Okay, that's a bizarre thing. That's not for us. It says yad. It says etz ve'ois yodav. Lie down on the floor. Do you ever see this in shul? You never saw someone do this in shul?
No, raglav.
It says etz ve'ois yodav.
You should go down like this so everybody knows how he's doing.
You're not davening in the right shuls. You're not davening in the right shuls. I got to take you where I go. You'll see this all the time.
In the earth.
On the earth. You stick your fingers into the earth. In.
Ishtai Pyrus Vedida, it tells that's exactly what you're supposed to do.
It's in the Shulchan Aruch. The same expression? Okay. Yinoitz gudle etz ba'ois yada ba'aretz. You're supposed to thrust your thumbs into the earth. Ba'aretz v'yisle gufay aleihen. And to lean the weight of your entire body upon your thumbs. Obviously, you're not going to be in a very happy mood. Do not lean against the wall. Don't try to fake everyone out and just do it against the wall, because that's not going to, it's not going to give you pain. Guaranteed, Rabbi Isai. Try this at home. It will banish the evil thoughts.
But you do this in public in the middle of shul.
Obviously, listen, this was 800 years ago. We're living in a different world today. Okay? They didn't have women in those days. they didn't have women. So what's the problem? Women didn't exist. Let's say a person is sitting and he's not able to stand up and do this technique, because I don't know, he can't stand before people. I don't know why he can't do that, whatever the situation is. Then the next best thing is, then just, if you can't stand up, then just when you're sitting down, do when you're sitting down. Period. Okay, that we're done with. That obviously, we don't really know what this means. Maybe this is some type of Kabbalistic thing that he's supposed to do. Maybe it's something that's physically painful. It's not relevant. Okay, we're not this.
The Gemara says, if he did, you have to look it up.
We have to look at them. Okay, you're right. I didn't realize. Okay, whatever this is, it is. Okay, now, here comes something which is, he's saying now something which is an incredible chiddush lahalacha. Okay, and the reason why we're learning this, because we're really supposed to learn halacha, and we're trying to use this as a springboard to discuss some practical halacha. As a springboard. And here he says something which really is shocking in the world of halacha, and they did not give him a free pass for saying this. We're about to read now, the Sefer HaChassidim is put under a lot of scrutiny for saying what he's about to say in the world of halacha. if a person is in a place where you're not allowed to think in learning, for example, you're in a place where people are not dressed, you're in a public mikvah, or let's say you're taking a shower, you're in a shower, you're not dressed, are you allowed to think in learning? What is the halacha l'maaseh? Before you see what it says inside, absolutely not. Mishneh Berurah says, b'feirush, it is well accepted that you're not allowed to think in learning when you are not dressed, when you are completely not dressed, when you are in a Beis HaMerchatz, if a person is in a shower, a person is in the Beis HaKiseh, and he is in the process of releasing waste from his body, you are not allowed to think and learning. If you walk into Bismanas, into a clean bathroom to brush your teeth, you walk into a bathroom today, a clean bathroom, there's no odor, and it's clean as far as you can see, and you want to brush your teeth, or you want to just want to freshen yourself up, are you allowed to think and learning? Many poskim say yes. Many poskim tell us that the Beis HaKiseh Bizman HaZeh does not have the status of a Beis HaKiseh from the time of the Gemara. Time of the Gemara, Beis HaKiseh, by definition, was a foul place. It did not exist, a mitzias of a Beis HaKiseh that did not have a foul odor. Doesn't exist. That is the essence of what a Beis HaKiseh is, even if a person is not in the process of releasing waste. Today, that's not so, obviously. Today, Baruch Hashem, we live in a very blessed world where that's not so. Today, a Beis HaKiseh, in some people, it's even cleaner than in their own bedroom. Okay?
In the kitchen.
It's not a joke. It's even cleaner. They say there's more bacteria. They say there's more bacteria and filth in someone's cell phone than there is in the Beis HaKiseh. Okay, it's not a joke. It's not a joke. People are very careful. They don't want to touch someone else's cell phone. Okay, Trump is mamish paranoid. Trump, they say, mamish paranoid, will not touch someone else. He has this shagas, this germ phobia.
In the travel section, they say when you're traveling, the most important thing to do in terms of keeping the germs free is put the remote control in a plastic bag.
The remote control in the bedroom, in a hotel.
TV remote control covered with plastic.
Do not touch the remote control in a hotel room.
It's
filthy, dirty. Okay, do not touch anything as a public item. All right, just go to the koisel, the sidurim, at the koisel. Wash your hands when you finish davening. You wash hands before you daven, right? Before you daven, you have to wash your hands. When you finish davening, wash your hands. You know why? Because if you touch the sidur at the koisel, you know who? People from all over the world. It's one thing, you know, you live in Flatbush, so you already think you're immune. You daven in a shul, so the people in the shul, you know who they are, whatever. If you haven't gotten sick by now, hopefully you'll be okay, because you're all part of the same culture, community, so we're immune to our own local illnesses. But when you go out into the world...
They change every 3 months?
3 months. Supposedly, they change it every 3 months.
What?
But if you go out into the world... It's really dangerous. You're in an environment, an international environment, where there are people all over the world. This is we don't take it very lightly, but it's not a joke. You go on an airplane into an airport where there are people from all over the world coming, even though there's no emergency warning, you know, Ebola. There still people come from all over the world. They come with bacteria, even though it's not necessarily life threatening, but your body is not used to it, and it's very.
The explorers who first came to America.
Exactly. They were not accustomed. The body is not accustomed. So it's no joke. You go to the koisel, you daven mincha by the koisel. On the way out of the koisel, you do yourself a very big favor. You wash your hands. Probably in the whole Eretz Yisrael, there is no place, probably in the whole world, that's more of an international hub than the koisel Hamaravi. People come, tourists come there from all over the world. There's no every country they're there from. It's not so poshut. So now halacha lemais, but there are. But you go into a, let's say you go into your own private base HaKiseh in your own home. Halacha lemais, many places can say that as long as there is no odor, you can be makel, and when you're brushing your teeth, you can be thinking in learning, because it's not really called a base HaKiseh. But when you're in the shower and you're not dressed, you're not allowed to be thinking in learning. When you are in the Beis HaKiseh, and there is a foul odor, the person is in the process of releasing waste, he's not a thing in learning. Let us say when you are in one of these matzavim, when you're not allowed to be thinking, learning, Mikar Hadin, hirhurim of Noshim, or hirhuri Avera, enter into your mind. So, you got a problem. So you mechuyiv to, of course, banish those thoughts. can you start? You have to be able to do this. But let's say you have what to think about in learning. I want to think about. I know my bar mitzvah parasha bal peh. I know bal kriya. You want to start racing through the parasha. You just went to a shir. You went to a very wonderful shir somewhere, and you remember beautiful chidush Torah, and you want to memorize. You want to say over a dvar Torah by the table, and you know the dvar Torah, so you want to go think it through, and this you want to use as a way to banish thoughts of avera. So mitzad echad, it's a good idea because otherwise you're being maharer in chet. But mitzad sheni, you're not allowed to because you are right now in a matzav of undress or in a matzav of where there's a foul odor and you're not allowed to be maharer in learning. So what would you say the halacha is? So today in the 21st century, from the impression that I get from reading all of the books, all of the the article books and the chol hanilvim olav, this type of shali, you know what they write? Either they don't address it, or those that address it, which they really, it's really foolish to address it, they all conclude, ask your local Orthodox rabbi. Which basically means, whenever it says it in an English book, ask your local Orthodox rabbi, you know what it means? It means that it's mutter. That's what it means. It means that it's mutter, but if we write that it's mutter, then we're going to have problems. Who are you afraid of? I don't know. You're afraid of these imaginary people that have a big stick. Who they are, I don't know who these imaginary people are. You're afraid of someone that will view you as irreligious or not be kares. No one's going to do that because I don't know who they are, but that's the mindset that we're in today. So you'll never find in all the books today, I've come to notice this, the art scroll, V'chol HaNilvim Olav, are only chumers. You will not find in these books kulas. You're not going to find. They only have chumers. Only chumers. Or things that the kulas are so widespread so they can write it. All of the kulas are just word of mouth. Ish mi pi ish. Are you allowed to make havdol over the telephone? Show me in a safer where it says you can do it. Doesn't say anywhere. No English sefer will say you can do it. Are you allowed to take...
No.
What?
Rabbi Shah said no. Rabbi David allowed it.
David allows it. Other places can also allow it. So
does the... Rabbi was the age you can't see on the telephone.
But what about the Birchas Havdalah? The Birchas Havdalah?
Yeah, that's what I mean. You mean like that, but you can't say Bar Mirage over the telephone.
Let me ask. Are you allowed to take a gelatin pill? You have a medicine, and the medicine, the capsule is gelatin. Now, by the way, you should know most gelatins anyway today are kosher. Just because it's gelatin does not necessarily come from a chazir. It doesn't always come from a chazir. You'd be surprised how many gelatins do you think are not kosher really are kosher if you just do the research. But in any event, let's say you have the real deal. Let's say it's mamish chazir, real gelatin from pigs. Are you allowed to put that in your mouth and swallow it or even to take a medicine? There is no flavor. I guarantee you will not find any sefer that says that it's mutter. There's no sefer that says you're allowed to take a medicine that has gelatin,
except
a gelatin capsule.
Except for the Gemara and Avodah Zarah.
There's no English book today that says that it's mutter. If you'll ask your rabbi, he'll tell you. You know, if you can get it without the, they sell a lot of kosher. If you go, you can break. You can do something, take it out. They'll give you. But if you can't, it's okay. You can swallow the gelatin pill because, number one, it's not derech achila. You're not eating it. And number two, it's gelatin is not, it's not chazir. It's been transformed. It's been pulverized into dust, into chemicals, and has been reconstituted, so it's completely bottled. So it's mutter. It's mutter. It's alpi, ish vipi ish, alpi, Shmiya, it's ish vipi ish, word of mouth, that they are heterim, it's mutter, there's definitely very, very strong grounds why it's mutter. It's a nice thing not to put pig meat into your mouth, it's not really pig meat, you know what I'm saying over here, so you're not going to find any book that's willing to have the guts to say in a footnote, you know, you can be makel, don't worry about it, it's okay, if you really need to take the medicine, it's going to make your life miserable, and it can come with desakana. So you can take the gelatin pill. No. Ask your local Orthodox rabbi. What does that mean? I dot e dot, comma. It means it's permitted. When you have no other option, it's permitted. Because if it was categorically forbidden, they would just write, it's forbidden. It's forbidden. Okay, so here, this Shaila, a person is in a Beis HaKise. He is in the room stinks. And he is in the middle of releasing waste. And he's completely undressed. Oh, you're not allowed to think. There's no question in the world you're not allowed to think in learning. But at this moment in time, I'm overcome, I'm overwhelmed with an hirhur of an isha that I'm not allowed to be thinking about. So today, if you even ask the shayla, they'll say you're shaketz. Even if you're asking the shayla and admitting you have a problem, are you allowed to think in learning to banish, to remove this thought? There's no art scroll book that will ever say, yes, it's permitted. It's permitted. It's permitted. Because how could you say it's permitted? Is it permitted? V'im odom b'merchotz, oy b'mokim hatinoifes, v'ahavas isha nichneses b'liboy, oy oiveres lifonov, a woman that he loves, he thinks about, or she passes in front of him, look what he says. You know what you should do? Yeharher b'divrei Torah. You should think in learning, ki divrei Torah yofim. They're beautiful. L'taher halev. It will fill you up with yirah shamayim to purify your heart. Miyetza hora. V'yaf al pi. Oh, you'll tell me, how can I say such a thing? It's the beferish of Gemara that says, and it's osur, and you'll, I'll ruin all my shaduchim. If I write this, if I publish this in my sefer, which the Sefer Chassidim did, right? V'yaf al pi shebechol mokon mutu lahar chutz mibes hamerchotz. It says beferish you're not allowed to do this in the Torah, in the Gemara. So along comes the Sefer HaKatzin and says, well, I have another Gemara that says, oh, he's really coming to expand, lahafrish odam min ha'avera is mutter. If you would have someone in the 21st century write this in a footnote, not in the ikar, not in the big letters on top, in a footnote, they would take it out of the bookstore. It would be banned, and the whole publisher, the publisher would be banned. They would say the best you can do with something like this was Banazeh. My impression is you can take this and put in a footnote, and you can mention the shayla if you're not embarrassed even to write this type of shayla. It's too embarrassing even to write the shayla to admit that a person has his mahara and isha. And in the footnote you write, if there's such a question, speak to your local Orthodox rabbi, which won't even know who will not even know what the answer is. Where are you going to find? Where are you going to find the local who's willing to do? You're not going to be embarrassed, Rebbe. Do you know what I was thinking about in the Beis HaKise, Rebbe? Do you know what I was thinking about? Who's going to ask this to his Rebbe? The Rebbe would say, "Frask, get out of the yeshiva," right? And then the Rebbe himself doesn't know what the answer is. They'll say, "Well, you're not allowed to. It's also in the Gemara." Here, the Sefer Chassidim was mamish amazing, ahead of his time. He wasn't embarrassed to acknowledge the Shaila. He wasn't embarrassed to write beferish in his sefer that it's mutter, even though the Gemara says beferish that it's osur, because he explains that the Gemara is not discussing that case. I hope you appreciate how deep this is, how unique this is relative to the way we live today when you write a sefer on halacha.
Why can't you just have a secular thought? Why do you have to think in Torah?
So he answers that question. He says, no. He says, better think in Torah because divrei Torah yofim litaher halev. If I'm going to think secular, I think about my business, accounting, or my doctor, or lawyer, or who knows what. It's not going to help. It's not going to help. It's not going to help. You need something super, super powerful to help. You need siyata shmaya divrei Torah yofim l'taher halev miyetzahara. Today in the English books they were right. Think about business. That's why you have in the Beis HaKise a whole library and encyclopedias. Where did everyone learn all the secular knowledge?
I had a rabbi who said he used to have the Reader's Digest in the bathroom. He would read the Reader's Digest. A
lot he's going to get from the Reader's Digest. The Reader's Digest is not so clean.
The rabbis used to study astronomy.
I used to read the Reader's Digest. Yeah. It's very dirty stuff there. I can even tell you right now some of the dirty stuff I remember reading in the Reader's Digest. It wasn't such a clean magazine for B'nai Torah, the Reader's Digest. Plenty of dirty stuff there also. So it's an incredible, thing. What he writes over here. Now this, I don't have over here. I have my other sefer at home from the other sefer. All the mefarshim, and they go berserk. They mamish go crazy. The mefarshim over here, they're like baffled, out of their mind. Mutter, what are you talking about? Like exactly what you said. You have a problem. You got a problem. So think about something secular. And let's say you can't think about something secular. Whoever told you that the Gemara, when the Gemara says lahavrish or benaver, it's mutter. Who says? So you did an Avera. So you do an Avera. You know, you're allowed to go do an Avera in order to say, do an Avera to save from another Avera. One Avera is matter another Avera. Since when are you allowed to go do that? Where does he get this from? They are just baffled. Baffled by his psak halacha. It's a piske halacha, which is powerful stuff. He says it. It's a chidish noira, la halacha, la mishnah. We don't say this. You're not going to find this in the Mishnah Berurah. And he says something which is a chiddush lahalacha, and bechlal, it's a chiddush just in general, the whole sprach, the whole approach. It's really very, very unique.
Is
Next.
It evil to have these thoughts?
Of course it is.
No, sometimes it's involuntary. It's not your fault.
It's involuntary. So it's
to try to distract.
It's try. You have to work on yourself. It takes a lifetime, you know, to control a person's thoughts. In our generation, we are not we're not cut out for this. Obviously, our minds are elsewhere. It's a very very what is the average time a person is able to concentrate on anything today without being distracted? Even if you're sitting in front of you at work and you're working 10 hours straight. In those 10 hours, how often was your mind distracted to something that is outside of what you're doing? The average person, I don't think can think more than 5-10 seconds.
The phone rings.
5-10, when you're doing something that it requires your full attention, you're preparing to give a lecture, you're working on your taxes, you're working in whatever you're doing, you're working in a business. Okay, you're working the whole day from early in the morning until late at night. How long do you go fully concentrating on what you're doing without being distracted? It depends on how much you enjoy your work. That's number one, okay? It depends. But even if you enjoy your work, think about it.
But
your brain
needs a rest from focusing sometimes.
Straight thoughts always come in.
Does it need a break? Does it really need a break? If you get a good night's sleep, does it really need a break? Really? Who says it needs a break?
I think so, probably.
I mean, this,
everyone is different. Some people
everyone is different, obviously.
Work.
Everyone is different, obviously. And obviously, in the Skanu Hadaris. And most of it is because we've never tried to train ourselves. Why have we not tried to train ourselves? Because we don't have people who know how to train us. We don't have experts. We don't have opportunities to be trained. That's really what it's all about. There's no question about it that there are techniques that can train people to concentrate, to be more in control of their mind than we are today. Unfortunately, no one ever trained us. Why has no one ever trained us? Because there's no one out there to train us. No one's interested. No one wants to be trained. The whole world is just not interested in this. But in ancient times, there's no doubt about it. They were more disciplined. They also did not have all of the distractions that we have today. We today are bombarded with distractions that are just unbelievable. And then if you want to go, there's more now. And if you want to go, no, today we don't appreciate. Now it's becoming a big thing. You don't appreciate with this. People, I tell you, I'm a quack for saying this, but it's really coming out. Like today, we don't appreciate this. There are electrical impulses. The person, every human being, there's electricity. There's electricity that flows through your body. When there are other electrical forces out there in the world, it has a very subtle effect on your nerves, on the electrical forces. So that's a joke for us there, because we don't even need to concentrate. But now, it's like never before, the amount, what is in the earwaves? Do you know how many Wi-Fi signals there are in this room now? Go back 10 years ago, there was nothing. There were radio waves from the radio. Now, in addition to the radio waves, in this room alone, there are at least, go look on your cell phone, how many Wi-Fi signals you can pick up from the next door, from this door. These Wi-Fi signals are much stronger than the radio you pick up AM and FM. They're much, much stronger. And then there's the cell phone towers. Do you know what that does? You have no clue. And now, reason why today we don't pay attention, but now it's going to become a big thing. You're going to see, now it's going to be very, very big. You're going to hear about this in the next year, because now they are rolling out 5G. Everyone here has on their phones what's called 4G. The technology of transmitting information to your cell phone. 5G needs 10 times more power than 4G. And everyone is racing for 5G. That means it's going to be in the air. The cell phone towers are going to be producing 10 times more power in the air. Now, see, most people, it's a joke. I don't feel anything, so it doesn't exist. I agree with you. I also don't feel anything. It doesn't exist.
We don't feel radiation, but you know it kills.
So, but we do know one thing is that a human being has, there's electricity. There is electricity flowing through your body continuously. And when there's other forms of electricity, it interferes. It interferes. And that interference is something which we never paid attention to. But when now, 5G, 10 times more, maybe it's time to wonder. Maybe that's why we're so distracted today. It's not just because of all of the Meshugasim. It's because our parents lived in a very pure world. There was nothing in the air. Does it make a difference? Some people say you're a quack for talking like this. Okay, maybe halavai, it should be true. Or we're in a lot of trouble. Any event, we have over here this problem. What?
Okay, so besides it. So we can, there's appropriate places, a situation which you can think about. He puts it like in a vessel. He can,
correct.
So, but I would say like this, a surgeon,
yes,
makes an operation, can he, if he starts thinking about Torah or whatever, which is appropriate?
No, he should not. A surgeon has to concentrate on his job.
So this would be applied for the same thing.
What do you mean? A surgeon, what surgeon is doing in the Avera?
No, but he does correctly, but he should fully concentrate on whatever he does.
No, whatever you do, a person should always concentrate on what they are doing. If you're a surgeon, you better concentrate on what you do. You'll kill the guy. You'll kill the guy. But he's saying the person is in the Beis HaKiseh. So he's not doing surgery in the Beis HaKiseh. He's not doing surgery. He's not even on a smartphone. He's just sitting in the Beis HaKiseh. He's in the Beis HaKiseh, and he's just daydreaming. He's daydreaming. And then when he's daydreaming, what comes into his mind? Here, Hurei Avera. So he has an obligation to remove those Hurei Avera. And how can he, in this unique situation, today I don't know if people have what to think about learning. I don't have a safer. It's not so simple. So how, what his ability is to through learning Torah. Are you allowed to do that? Are you allowed to be mezalzel in the holiness of Divrei Torah in a place where there's a foul, repugnant odor and you're completely not dressed and in the middle of removing waste from your body? This is categorically forbidden on three accounts. But if this is the only way a person can remove her Hurei Avera, you can do it. Wow, that's a chiddush. Yeah? The sheish shofein achanami. So, are you allowed to then focus on the sheish? Same exactly, same divrei Torah. In the Beis HaKiseh?
Yes.
Is that called? Maybe you want to say that's not the same level of the same level as divrei Torah. So let's make the question. Let's say the sheish mitzvot tibios don't help for you. You need something more powerful. You need to think about the ketzois, the ketzois and the nesivis.
Are you believed to that yourself?
No. Physical injury is certainly much worse. Of course, okay. Look, yeah, I say, they would say about Rav Hudna. Rav Hudna was very sharp. They said that Rav Hudna, if you would see a bachar on a bus, who goes with people on a bus or on a train with a sefer, he didn't like it. He thought it was not. He would say to him, "Tell me, you need to go on the train and the bus with the sefer on the subway. You have nothing to think about. Are you so shallow that you have nothing to think about?" A person needs time during the day to think about things, to think about decisions he needs to make in life, to think over his learning. If you learn a daf gemara, you go to a shir, you have to think, what did the Rebbe say? What did we learn today? What was the sugi about? So every single second of the day, you're busy reading from a book. You're on a bus, you're on a train. That's the perfect time. You should use your mind to review what you've learned today, or to tackle some halachic or Torah topic that you want to think about and develop and work on. And
he, reading Tehillim on the train.
Okay, so obviously today, obviously today, I'm just to give you an idea. This is not for the faint of heart, obviously, but there's something, you know, there's something to it. Think about it. There's something to it. It's not all about us reading books. There's also such a principle of. Famous story. Famous. That's on the cover of Ami magazine. They had the whole write-up.
Sitting right next to me.
I mean, left. Oh, you.
With me.
You.
No, I wasn't with the safer. The guy next to me.
I thought it was you with the safer.
I was sitting there. The guy is sitting there with the Gemara, learning Gemara, and the ball came right into the Gemara.
The zechusat. You see the zechusat.
Do
you see the zechusat?
The chef was angry with the zechusat. Watch the game.
People would kill for that ball. They people have died. You know how many people have died in a game? And you see that, the Zakoy HaTorah? What a zchus. But why in the world was the guy reading the Gemara during the game? Oh, but his kids into the game. Okay. It's not a good dogma for the children. The children have to see their father enjoying the game. The children, that's part of the chinuch habanim, is that the children should see the father enjoying. They're going to see the father looking at the Gemara. It's not going to have a good effect on the children in the future, right? Isn't that pashtus? If the parents take the children l'chayra parenting. The laws of parenting, as it says in all of these special magazines, these special magazines demand that when the parents take the children to the game, the parents should enjoy the game. And the children should see the parents are enjoying the game. Someone wrote an article, I saw, I gave cover to a person who wrote, Avos Sabanim. So they gave cover, they gave it in a journal, they thanked the person for arranging and being masader the Seder Halimudim Mitzvah Shabbos for Avos Sabanim. So they write, we want to thank you for all of your hard work. And it was signed by the father, you know, the father. And he put his son's name, and he has a three-year-old kid. He comes there and he learns the father. And all of the other big kinderlach and little kinderlach. And in parentheses, the big kinderlach, the Avos, and the little kinderlach, the Banim. Everyone is the kinderlach. The avos are the big kinderlach, and the banim are the small kinderlach.
I heard one Rosh Shiva tell, you know, he's saying, you know, he said at his levaya, I mean, whenever it will be, please don't say that I took you to a bowl game. You know, he's saying don't say, you know.
Okay, let's finish this up. Okay, let's just try to finish up until chavtas. The yinne, okay. This stubbing, which really we shouldn't say out loud all of these words, but we'll read anyway. The yinne adam atzma milavili, they carry a person, be careful not to come lidei avera. Okay, by the way, we're now in shoivim, right? We're now in the weeks between shemois and mishpatim. Shoivim is rashi tevois shemois va'era bo b'shalach yisrei mishpatim. Shoivim tat, one of the last two letters. This year's a leap year. This year it's shoivim tat. This year it's not Shoivim, it's Shoivim Tat. Tat is Truma Titzaveh. So this is the time traditionally when people, when Rabbanim, they dwell upon these Inyanim. Mamash, these Inyanim that we're learning today is the time to work and discuss these Inyanim. The Yim Adam Lassan Lavu, the Kerig Mishamu Lishtais Yain Yosim and Aroi, Mimeshu Lokeches, Lavavo, Misu Miachre Hashem. Okay, Shenemar Znus, the Znus. The yayin, the tiroish, yayin is aged wine, tiroish is fresh wine, yikach lev, takes away a person's heart, it leads him to do averos. Okay, obviously you have to extrapolate bizman hazeh, it's not necessarily wine. Today there are many other things which can cause this to happen. All of the visual devices are much more dangerous today than I think drinking a sip of wine. And that can cause these type of things that he discusses. If a person has nisyonos, okay, then the person should be mispala. Uma kish boin yisurim al adam lefi shaat yatsum vivke v'yischanin liyitzray. if when a person, Rachmanu Litzlan, is suffering from a physical ailment, what does he do? He davens. So when a person is suffering from a mental problem, there is a mental issue, then kol sheken sheyispalo odom leboroi lahatzila min ravi yishvi mispalo. Then a person should not allow this to happen, because if a person allows these type of sins to continue, we don't know what this means. It creates in Shemayim prosecuting angels. And therefore a person should be clever in this world to prevent these angels from being created in the next world against him. It embraces him. Every aver a person does in the next world surrounds him, and it escorts him to the Yoim Hadin. And it's like your sins are written all over you. Shenemar, it says in Eoiv, Yilofsu Orchoi Starkom. It will, the ways of a man's path in this world will envelop him in the next world, in the Yom Adin. I heard a very nice video from Rabbi, from Dr. Blumenthal. Dr. Blumenthal works for Ohel. He's one of the directors of Ohel. And he gave a talk in front of a girl. He said to a girl, he said what he said in front of a girl. He said to girls, he said in the high schools, girls, do you take care of your health? Do you go to a doctor? Do you go to a doctor and have an immunization? Of course, yeah. Do you go to do you take care of your physical beauty? Do you
if you have a dermatologist?
Of course, of course, right? The girls have to make sure. Do you take care of your weight? Are you concerned to make sure that you're not overweight? Of course, you want to look good, right? Do you take care of your nutrition? Do you eat well? Do you go eat the proper balanced diet? Of course, you go to a nutritionist. You go to a doctor, a skin doctor. What's it called?
Dermatologist.
A dermatologist. And you go to a nutritionist. And you go to a pediatrician. And you go to whatever. Do you take care of your mental health? Do you take care of your mental health? Are you very angry? Are you very sad? Are you depressed? Do you have thoughts? Are you very jealous? Do you have thoughts that linger in your mind that drive you crazy? This is no different than going to a nutritionist, no different than going to a dermatologist, no different than going to a pediatrician. If you have issues in your mind that bother you, depression, anger, talk to boys. You should go talk to boys. Go talk to yeshiva boys. Are you totally overwhelmed with your hormones? I mean, basically, is that you have hirhurim ro'im. Some boys, they really have a very, very big problem. Okay? They have a very big problem. You know, the hormones develop at this certain age, and they're not going to confess, not going to admit it, but it's a very big problem. And some people have it even worse. They have addiction problems in these matters. Do you go to a doctor to take care of these issues? There is no difference. There is no difference. Some things can be helped with just therapy, and some things are more serious and need medication. Just like when it comes to a dermatologist, they'll tell you, "Don't eat this food." You're done. Sometimes you have to go smear this cream on your body, and that will help you. You go to a pediatrician. Sometimes they just tell you, "Just don't do this." Sometimes they tell you, "You need medicine. We got to give you antibiotics." It's the same thing with mental health. Mental health is not a joke. It's not just something, some narishkeit. It's serious business. It's not much what he says over here. Okay, 800 years ago, the Sefer Chassidim was way ahead of his time. He says, you got a problem. You got a problem. You have here hurim royim. And you have issues which comes lidei carry. So there are things that you got to do. Your things you got to do, you got to take care of yourself. You have to go vimbo aver liyado. And you know what those things are? To daven also. Just like if a person is not feeling well, yimispalel, if you have hirhurim rohim, and it's overwhelming, and it's controlling you, and you're addicted, you got to daven. Just like you would daven if you have a cold, if you have some other health issue. It's all the same. Okay, himamish, what Dr. Blumenthal said in this speech, it was very powerful, very powerful. Zmamish Mila b'Mila, he plagiarized it straight from the Sefer HaMaseh. I'm just joking, of course, you mean, but it's Mamish Mila b'Mila, what it says here in the Sefer Hasidim. Sefer Hasidim was way ahead of his time. There he talked about Midos, doing Tshuva Midos, and he talks about the mind. The mind is not under your control, so this is the best that you can do, but sometimes it's out of control and you have to take action. Taking action requires foods, environment, tefillah, and today we have even better things. Say today there's therapy, and there is even in certain situations medicine, and it's really it's very refreshing to see what he says, what he says over here. Okay, we're going to stop here. Take a very short break. We're going to talk about everyone's favorite topic, Parshas Hamon, Yoim Gimel LeParshas V'Shalach.